Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
I think it all starts with Alberto Riveron being an incredibly terrible leader of men.
Illegal use of hands, hands to the face, defense.
But again, that is a terrible call. Crucial situations that the refs have blown the call.
Oh no, no, no!
Dale Arnold.
Through, over to Marshawn. To Pastrnak, it's a four-goal game.
Yeah, baby.
Rich Keith.
Pickles are cucumbers.
Oh, are they?
Dale and Keith, middays.
Boom-shakalaka!
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. So big doings in the building earlier today.
Huge.
The place was nuts in here. So former Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski was supposed to be here at 9 o'clock this morning.
Well.
Big event.
Yeah.
Listeners here who had won contests to come in and meet.
Oh, is that
with
what
Rob.
That was?
Yeah.
I thought all those people worked here.
No.
There was a
Not
lot of people down there.
There was a lot of people.
How many
in
people
this
do you think?
Room.
That was too many. I got claustrophobic.
It was a little crowded.
I didn't like
in
it.
Here. So because traffic is Boston.
Yeah.
He got here about 9:30 or thereabouts.
He's a little tardy to the party.
A little bit.
Yeah.
What are you going to tell him? No, Rob, we said 9. Yeah. You can't come on.
So he was in,
so
what, 9:30?
And they stayed a little late because, you know, you got Rob Gronkowski and you gotta stick around.
Sure.
And you know, we'll give you some of the highlights here because, first and foremost, I think the question everybody wants to have answered is a simple one. Is he going to come back and play again for the Patriots?
Because what? If I even say no, they're going to say, he's still coming back. So
that's what I said.
I'm
99% that you're going to return. So my sources tell me. But I mean,
you know, my sources tell me that he might return too. I'm going to go, you know, I don't know who.
What would it take?
Sources.
I mean, what would it take?
You know, it would take a good source, someone out there that
no,
just
no,
knows
I mean, what
facts.
Would it take? What would it take to get you to come back? I mean, is it money?
No, not at all.
I mean, what would it take? What could we do? What could the New England region do to lure you back?
Wow. I mean, the love has been shown for sure.
Yeah,
no doubt about that. I mean, it was never really about that, like every time. But like I said, man, I would have to be feeling it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like have to feeling be
feeling
it
mentally.
Yeah,
he was
mentally,
talking about
physically,
that
you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, like when you need to go do something, you like every day, you're like, man, I need to go do something. You never do it. But like for a week, like 10 days straight, it's like, I got to go do that. And then you finally do it and it feels good. Like that's what it needs to be, like a 10 days, like, or a couple weeks of me just feeling it. Like I need to go play football again. But that's what I
hope
mean.
You get that feeling.
If I get that feeling. I mean, I don't know how I would describe it.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
I
got that
that's
feeling.
What I'm trying to say. Like, I'm like,
and you're not getting that
you know
feeling
what I'm
right
trying
now.
To just, like, no,
you don't
I'm, get I, no, like I'm enjoying myself.
You don't have
right
that itch. You don't
no,
have that
I don't
yet.
Have that itch. And if I had that itch, I would go back. But you know what I mean by that, though? Yeah, I would have to have that itch, and it would have to be like a continuous itch. It's not, you know, like, you know, I see Tom throw a nice touchdown pass. I'm like, man, if that's me, like, and that for like the 5 seconds itch, it has to be a continuous itch. Like every day, every week, it has to be a long, continuous itch.
That's all you think about it.
Danielle went off the deep end at that moment.
But Gronk wouldn't know anything about that.
No.
Thankfully. But that is, you've been a proponent. You and Wiggy both.
I thought he was going to be back
thought
all
he was going
along.
Back. What do you think of that? Does that change your mind at all? Does it sway you at all?
It's funny because, and we don't have this, I'm sure we don't have this, but I think you hit the nail on the head right after we started talking.
Oh, this was actually really funny because, as we said, there was 1,000 people in studio. And so as our show's
they're
beginning.
They're all over there.
Most of them still in studio because everybody's got to take a picture, got to take a selfie with Gronk. You got to do that. Prove that you saw Gronk. Take a picture of it. So Gronk was standing just a few feet away from us. And we started by talking about, the appearance on there. And is he coming back? Is he not? And I said, I think it's pretty clear that what Gronk wants is for people to think that he might come back. And he turned and looked at us and started laughing. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. And he's smart. Again, CBD and the tie-in he has with the CBD medic, they want the speculation out there all the time.
Yep.
And the fact that he does feel good, you know, he's referring to himself now as Mr. Recovery. So he feels great. He could play if he wanted to, but he doesn't want to. And I also think it's kind of, I think it's because he's still good why the questions keep persisting. But a 9-year NFL career at that position with all the injuries, that's nothing to sneeze at.
No.
This isn't a 4-year career.
I got the crap beat out of him.
This isn't a Terrell Davis type career. This isn't a guy that, you know, retired 5 years into his 9 years and took an absolute beating. Like, he did have a really good career, but I this whole time have thought that he wasn't going to come back. I thought last year was going to be his last year for a long time throughout the season. And I think he seems like he's in a really good place. He's still busy. You know, that might be another thing that would drive you back to the game is, how do you spend your free time? Are you just doing nothing? You're just watching football and you're mad that you're not playing? He's on Fox. He's doing the tour with the CBD medic. I'm sure he's going to have other things come up. He's in a movie that's coming out next year. Like, he's a busy guy.
Well, it's funny you should say you've thought about, you know, retirement for a while now. Apparently, Gronk has been thinking about it longer than we expected.
I would say I definitely have thought about it, like, you know, started, like, within, like, the last season or two. Big time for sure, you know, taking that grind, feeling it and everything, and, you know. So it was over like the last year or two period for sure.
You know what's amazing to me is that as a former player who didn't walk away from the game on his own and know a lot of players that, you know, they don't walk away from the game, that you know that you still have ability and you could still play, and to be able to just be like, I'm done with it. I don't feel like I've ever seen that before. Calvin Johnson, he was on a crappy team. He still wanted to play. Same with Barry Sanders. I mean, you're like one of the only guys that I can ever think about that could still play and had just been saying, like, yo, I'm good.
I don't want to do it.
Yeah. I know. It's wild.
But so one of the things that, and he basically just confirmed it, but
I've been thinking about it for the last year or two.
But I feel like we all knew that, because you remember after they lost the Super Bowl to the Eagles and they asked, you know, would you, the report is you've been thinking about retirement. And he didn't say no. He said, how'd you know that? Or who told you that?
Right.
And like, just the way he responded to it was, all right, he's known about this for a while. It's also something that Tom E. Curran had been reporting for a while. He said, you know, going back, I think even the preseason 2 years ago, like, he thought about potentially retiring. So it had been on his mind for a little while. So that's the other thing. I don't think it was necessarily a knee-jerk reaction. You know, I think he wanted to make sure it was the right decision, because he didn't want to be the guy that flip-flops. He didn't want to be Brett Favre. It was like, actually, you know what? I'm back now.
So with, it's a relative term here, but with the fact that the offense has struggled a little bit, certainly hasn't kept up with how well the defense is playing, Gronk was asked if teammates have been texting him and asking him about the possibility of coming back.
Like, no. I mean, they all understand, and I'm cool with all the guys still. I mean, you know, we'll play with them for so many years, especially the veteran guys there. And, no, whenever we talk, we just talk, you know, just like we're friends, like we're boys. But, you know, they never put pressure on or anything, and that's just a good way to have it.
When you're watching this offense, and no disrespect to any tight ends or anything that's going on there now, do you look at that and say they need me? Like, can you see that this offense needs you?
I mean, they're doing a great job. I mean, they're 6-0, but I mean, if you can get an upgrade at any position, I mean, why not? I mean, I understand the value I bring. I mean, to going out there and playing football. I mean, I played for 9 years in the organization and know a lot of things inside and out, and how the playbook works and everything, and, you know, where to be in the routes and all that type of stuff. So, I mean, obviously, you know, you can always use, you know, a little upgrade, but I mean, the guys there are doing an excellent job, and they're working hard.
See, that's the part where I thought, maybe.
See, that's actually the part where I realize he's no longer on the Patriots. If he was on the Patriots or planning on going back to the Patriots, he would have, and he kind of goes in and out of it there, because at the beginning, oh, they're doing a great job, they're 6-0, and then at the end, hey, no, but they're doing well. But in the middle, I know the value that I bring and that part of it. To me, when he was on the Pats, he had the talking points down so well. It was always about his teammates. It was always about this. And that was one of my fears I had when he went to Fox, is like, oh, great. Is he just going to be kind of boring football guy that doesn't want to offend anybody? But he kind of points at, like, no kidding, he'd be a massive upgrade over these guys. But you wouldn't have been able to get
even
him
the
to say
fact that.
That
he weighs about $170 right now.
Even now he would be.
I know.
Even now I would take him. But while he was on the team, you know, I don't think he ever would have said anything like that. Like, he actually kind of complimented himself in there, which he's right to do, but you just wouldn't normally hear that.
So Monday, Tom Brady was on the Greg Hill show, and they mentioned to Tom that Gronk was going to be on today. And Greg talked to Tom Brady about Rob Gronkowski.
I love that guy. I'm so happy that he's enjoying, you know, his time. And I'm happy that he's enjoying his life, and he seems to really be doing a lot of great things. So he knows how I feel about him, and I want what's best for him. And he's the only person that can make those decisions. So I don't lobby for those things. You know, I have a great relationship with him. He's given actually a hell of a lot to our team already over the course of a long period of time. And I think people should be very appreciative and, you know, for what he's brought to the team and what he's brought to the region, because I think he's just a very special guy. And, you know, he's at a different phase of his life.
So they talked to Gronk. They played that for Gronk,
right,
who had not heard it, and asked him to respond.
Do you start to feel a little itch when you hear it? Do you get pumped up when you hear that?
When the goat calls on.
Yeah. it's something special to hear him talking like that. So, they're doing a great job. I mean, he's running the offense. They spread out the ball to everyone like they've done all year. And they're doing a great job. I know they got the Jets coming up this Monday night. That'll be a good game, Monday Night Football. It always
is. What do you think of the defense?
All right, I mean, he got
easy
a little,
to praise the
he
defense.
Got a little touched about the greatest of all time talking to him.
It is nice, but I like how Gronk put it, and I think it's only Gronk could put it this way, is what he said earlier about how you can't just have like a little bit of an itch. You need like a prolonged itch. It needs to be itchy for a long time.
And the way he said it was a little creepy, but
understood. Oh, yeah. He started to talk slower and deeper into the microphone. But
Danielle started getting faint.
Yep. It was an issue there. But, you know, if he's looking at it, watching a game, like, oh, I really want to get out there, but then that moment passes, well, then you've made the right decision not to play. You can't half-ass it once you decide to come back.
So they didn't take a lot of calls because, you know, you got Gronk in the studio. You spent a lot of time. But they did take one call in particular who got right to the point.
This is Dave. Dave, what's up?
Gregory, thanks for letting me call up and talk to Gronk.
Yeah.
Rob, I just want to say thank you for all the great memories as a New England Patriot. And one question, I will not be satisfied by hanging up unless I hear you say yes or no. You're going to come back to the Patriots this year.
He wants a definite answer.
He's not giving
one. All right. I'll give an answer. Obviously, when I retired, I retired for a reason because I needed to step away. So it would be a no.
It's a no.
It would be a no.
It's a no.
Yes, it would be a no. There it is.
It's a no.
Yeah, but I never say no because I've said no, and everyone's like, yeah, he's kidding.
Right.
They're like, yeah, he's coming back.
But it's legit. It's legit. It's a no.
Yeah, it's a no.
It's a no. You're not coming back.
Yeah, that's in my mind. That's how it is. It's a no.
It's a no.
Yeah, but obviously, and everyone's like, I kept it. I say I keep it open because even if when I do say no, it's like people are like, yeah, right, he's kidding. Or so they always spin it. So, but in my mind, it's a no.
Yeah,
there you go.
All right,
there you go. All right, there you go.
All right, so everybody, Dale, everybody,
it's a no. Dale calling you out. It's a no. Do you take that no, or are you one of those guys that Gronk's talking about who goes, yeah, he didn't mean that?
As soon as I saw his reaction to your comment here in the studio, I thought, he's messing with all you guys.
Messing with you, you mean?
No, I think
you still think he's coming back?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Based off everything today?
Yes.
He said no in the cut.
And then he said,
you're the problem.
But I never closed it down.
Yeah, because you're the problem. This is exactly what Gronk was talking about. He's like, I've been saying no the whole time, but now I've stopped even just saying no because nobody believes me. Because Dale Arnold out there won't believe a word I'm saying. He's not coming back. As you point out, he's 145 pounds right now.
I mean, he is very slight.
He's lost some
tall guy, obviously, big guy. And, you know, by normal human standards, yeah, he's a large man.
He's not coming back.
But by NFL tight end standards,
it's, they have started practice in week 7. How long are you going to keep this up for?
He said it would only take a week.
No, I know, but
he said he could be ready in a week.
Well, he's not going to show up for the playoffs, though. So I'm saying, like, what week would it be for you to
say? I said after the bye week all along.
What is that? 9, 10, somewhere in there coming up?
Yeah.
All right. So you got a couple more weeks where you can talk about this. They just added like 8 tight ends to the roster. I don't think they have room for them anymore.
I think they might be able to find
what
a
spot. What if this Tomlinson guy's good?
Yeah.
They want to keep him on the roster.
Maybe.
You
maybe
should
they
see,
do.
Have you seen him? Big
no.
fellow. Oh, big monster of a guy.
Huge.
Yeah. Looks like
large man.
Looks like fat Thor a little bit.
So now if you think about it, you know, Gronk's done playing, right? His career is over. He's a commentator.
I've been
now.
Trying to tell
yes,
you that for a long time.
I know.
You don't listen.
So because he's no longer a member of the Patriots,
yes,
he's now free, you would think,
well,
to answer even weirder, tougher questions like what the hell happened with Malcolm Butler?
You know, everyone asked me this. My friends asked me this. Whoever asked me this, I actually know less info than you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, he's
I
a
swear.
Defensive player.
I
you
swear.
Don't pay
yeah,
attention
exactly.
To him.
You understand, Wiggy,
you
how it,
it
works. You know?
Nobody. You, did you guys talk about it afterwards? Like, were you guys.
I mean,
were you
I
guys
still.
Pissed?
I, you know, I still don't even really know. I never really asked. You know, I just stay in my lane. And. It's that defensive
trained.
Side
yeah.
too.
These people are
textbook.
So. It's like PTSD or like they you know they want to reveal something but they still can't.
They got to run in the bill.
The guy's not
we
even on the
run
payroll
in the bill every now and then.
Yeah, but I truly don't know.
Yeah,
I truly don't. And people, I mean,
it's like Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah,
like
well, I truly
yeah.
don't.
Yeah, you don't have any
yeah.
idea. No,
never right. never even asked a defensive player either what happened.
It's
you
his
know?
Business over there.
Yeah, if I heard someone talking about it, then you know I would figure it out. But I never heard anyone, you know, never ask questions. Just do what
job.
I got to do.
Just
I
just
do my
do
job.
Your job.
Yes,
you believe that too?
That Gronk doesn't know,
or that he never asked questions? No.
Probably, I believe that he doesn't know,
but I believe he said, "What the hell's going on?"
Oh yeah. I believe he's asked, but he asked somebody else who also didn't know, and then they just stared at each other for a while, and then you're left with nothing.
And then they started laughing. And
it's one of the great mysteries of our time, don't you think? I mean, if you could know the answer to any one question in the world, wouldn't that be at the top of the list?
It used to be why is there air, but now
yeah.
it's that one. Why
What's
didn't
the
Malcolm
point
Butler
of any
play?
Of this? You know, where do we go when we die? And why didn't Malcolm Butler play in the Super Bowl? Those are my two, maybe. But maybe Butler won, and then where do we go when we die too? Because I might not like the answer to that, and then I'll just be thinking about it the rest of my life.
So this is not any second guessing on my part. You're in the studio.
You would have played Butler.
Well, that too.
Oh.
You got a lot of stuff going on. You know, sometimes things slip through the cracks. I don't think they asked what would have been the important question for me.
Ooh, what would that have been? You should have called in.
I was right in the other room.
You should have picked up the horn.
I couldn't get through the crowd.
All right.
Why haven't you filed your retirement papers?
Oh, I think it's to keep the suspense going, Dale. That's why he wants to keep this going. Although Wiggy had a good answer, too. Wiggy's never filed his retirement
Wiggy
papers.
Wiggy didn't know there were retirement
well,
papers.
Well, he said a lot of guys in the league probably
also,
don't even know
well,
where to
he
go.
He didn't retire. He got cut.
Yeah, but after a couple years.
By his
years,
own admission, it was not by his choice that he wasn't playing.
No, I know. But so why would he retire? Or why would he file his retirement papers? Wiggy maintains he doesn't think a lot of guys do. He's like, they just kind of, you're done and then you're done. So, I don't know. It was. I mean, Robert Kraft did mention that before, but I think that was just to sort of build a little bit more anticipation. I know why Gronk's not doing it, because it's just like he doesn't want to officially close the door either, even though he kind of did today. It's a no. Dale reads that as it's a yes,
it's
but
a, it's
I read
a,
it as
or,
it's a
or
no.
Or at least it's a hard maybe.
It's no, it's a no.
So
he
the,
said no
let me give
several
you
times.
One other question that they did ask him.
Okay.
And it had to do with playing and working for Bill Belichick.
Do you miss Bill Belichick?
Oh man, in ways for sure.
In ways,
yeah, just like I mean, leaving the game, I miss the game in ways for sure. But you know, his coaching techniques and everything. I mean, he's hands down one of the best coach. I mean, obviously, I've ever been around, and that's why he's at the level he is. And but just the way that he coaches and what he brings up with coaching points. And then it always happens in that game coming up. And if it doesn't happen in that game, it happens like in another week or two. And his coaching points are always just solid, always right on. And it's just unbelievable, just the techniques he knows, the schemes he knows. And he's just hands down the best coach and just knows it all. I mean, he does watch film, right. I think, 24/7, though.
Yeah.
You don't miss those Monday mornings.
Yeah, exactly. I don't miss those. Yeah.
I think people thought maybe when you were...
Gronk's laugh is the best. It sounds fake, but it's the best.
No, it's him.
It is really
when
funny.
When he was laughing at you in here, that's what it sounded
that's
like.
That's exactly what it sounded like. It is funny to hear that. But, I mean, that was kind of a Patriots answer. But he's right. I mean, obviously, Belichick... And like, he didn't just straight up lie about it. He's like, do you miss Belichick? He's like, well, in ways. You know, you don't miss everything about him, but he's the greatest coach of all time. He helped me become this great player. I mean, I'm sure Gronk would have been a great player on any team, but to this level and all the winning and everything, of course, I mean, he respects him for sure.
We cut that short a little too early. Let's finish that one up.
In a roundabout way that you had become frustrated with Belichick and with kind of dealing with that.
Oh, no, not at all.
No?
Yeah, not at all.
No.
Yeah.
That wasn't a factor at all.
No, not at all. No.
I feel... Well,
he thinks he doth protest too much.
Yeah, but here's the difference.
No, not at all, about six times.
No, but here's the difference, though. When you are asked a player a question about Bill Belichick, aren't they viewing it in two ways? There's sort of Bill Belichick, just the coach, X's and O's, play on Sunday, practices, and then there's Bill Belichick, the, yeah, we only want to give you a one-year deal, or we only want to give you incentives.
No, not at all.
Yeah, there is, and you got to separate the two, right? And I think... The coach might be a little bit different. This is my opinion. I have no idea. I'm just saying, I think the coach, he can kind of respect that part of it. And he's like, all right, this guy obviously has a ton of success. But then when it comes to he and Drew Rosenhaus trying to make like wide receiver money, and he's saying, hey, how about you play on this incentive deal? There's no way he likes that. Gronk didn't get paid as much as Gronk probably should have gotten paid. But there was sort of a balance. I mean, if you believe the reports, Bill Belichick had him traded to the Detroit Lions. And then, you know, Gronk had to say, well, if I go there, I'm going to retire. And then that was the whole thing. He tried trading Gronk. It didn't ultimately happen, but it was at least on the table, something that I think most of us never would have dreamed of doing.
All right. Well, there was the highlights from Rob Gronkowski's takeover of the building earlier today. We're still trying to shoo some of the people out who I think snuck their way in and didn't belong in here.
Is there
anybody
under the table over there?
There might be, just looking for stuff.
Although, again, I'm not going to complain because if you bring snacks, it's fine with me. They brought all kinds of delicious food, so I was at least able to eat. My tummy's full.
You're good.
Yeah, I'm all set.
We'll give you a little touch of what happened yesterday at the Garden and the Bruins win at home over the Anaheim Ducks in just a couple of minutes. It's Dale and Keith.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time to trend.
Follow Dale on Twitter at Dale E. Arnold. This is Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Bergeron, Krug, over to Marchand, to Pastrnak. It's a four-goal game. Who can stop that trio?
Jack Edwards with a call on Nesson yesterday afternoon. Matinee, that's our only weekday matinee game of the year.
That's it?
That's it.
Come on.
They have played President's Day in the past, but they don't this year.
Are they playing at night on Black Friday?
Yes.
Yeah.
They are. And
so they have no day games.
NBC took it, so. Or whenever they
play. They get the day off.
Yeah, whenever they play. We don't have it. So anyway, David Pastrnak scored four yesterday. Let me give you the good news and the bad news.
There's bad news to that? It sounds like a lot of goals.
I'm going to give you some concerning news.
Oh, boy.
The Bruins are 5-1. They are tied for the second best record in the NHL in the entire league, in the overall standings.
Mm-hmm.
But that top line, Pastrnak, Bergeron, Marchand, have been unbelievable. They have 11 goals after Pastrnak's four-goal performance yesterday.
That's 11 of 16.
And it's 11 of 14 from the forwards.
Oh, okay.
Only Danton Heinen, Brett Ritchie, and Joakim Nordstrom have
scored the first goal of the season.
Yes, in Dallas.
Which, again, still counts. I'm just saying it's been a while since, yeah, right.
So they've been great. They've been unbelievable. But you do need to get some secondary scoring, and it is a concern, I think, for Bruce Cassidy. Now, let me just suggest this.
Shake up the
first
line.
Could there be some controversy?
controversy?
So David Pastrnak has 4 goals, right?
Yeah. Anaheim, what do they call that, by the way? What's more than a hat trick?
I don't know. Is it a sombrero? I don't know.
The golden sombrero, right, is when you strike out
four times.
Yeah.
So he's got the 4 goals. Anaheim pulls their goaltender, John Gibson, with like 2 minutes left because they're down by a couple. Sure. What the heck? You got to try. Pastrnak never touched the ice with the empty net.
Was he sending a message?
In the history of the Bruins, do you know how many people have scored 5 goals in a game?
Let's see. Cam Neely probably did it.
No one.
Bobby Orr? No?
No one.
Esposito.
He had a chance. I'm being facetious
now, did
here.
They not want to let him do it because is it cheap to get the 5th goal on an empty netter? Is it cheap? Or is it just, hey, when he's not going to play in those scenarios anyway because it's more of a defensive kind of...
Yeah, what they went with was guys like Sean Corrali
and
Chris
Wagner. They
went with
the grinders.
Now, part of that, if I'm Bruce Cassidy, is even if it's an empty netter, can I get Chris Wagner off the schneid here? Can I get Sean Corrali?
Get somebody going.
Can I get somebody to get themselves a goal and feel better about themselves?
Well, also make the team feel better, like you're saying.
Or that.
All the first line goals, you're kind of, it's becoming a bit much.
Or do I give David Pastrnak the opportunity to do something no one has ever done in the history of
if
the team?
I was Pastrnak, I just would have jumped on the ice. I would have been like, kidding me? Sort of would like tap somebody like, hey, I'm going out there now. I'm going to try to get this 5th goal. I still think... it's just going to be an issue all season long, or at least a topic of conversation all season long. We're only 6 games in. You know how good that top line is. They were great last year. But the last 2 years, the postseason ended with the top line getting shut down and thus everybody else getting shut down, and then you lose.
Right.
And that's why, as good as they are together, unless you go and acquire somebody else to put with Krejci, and I know Krejci got hurt too.
He did. He left the game yesterday, which is a concern because he's already missed some time with injury earlier.
I would probably move Pastrnak down and try to get more scoring chances on more than one line. That's what I would do. And I don't know who the guy would be that you'd throw up on the top line. I know they tried a few different guys last year. Even in the playoffs, they were kind of juggling players up there on that line because they didn't really add any top 6 forwards, or they didn't add any top 6 forwards in the offseason. But that's just something because I think you know – with this top line the way that it is, and then you throw in Tuukka, you're automatically, you roll out of bed, you're in the playoffs. Guaranteed. Because that's how good they are. They're going to score a lot of points. They're all going to be over a point per game. And then Tuukka's going to be good enough to get you there. And then you even have Halak, who's solid. You're going to win a lot of games. But then come playoff time, are you just going to try to do the exact same thing again? And this time you might have to face much stiffer competition, and you might not even get all the way to the cup final before you lose.
There were those who had legitimate concerns about, you know, the short off season for the Bruins. You lose game 7 of the Stanley Cup final. Is it going to be a tough start to the season? By Bruce Cassidy's own admission, he was very careful about how much preseason time he was giving to guys like Bergeron and Marchand and Pastrnak and Chara. And it does not seem that that's been an issue for them.
No, and they
because the goaltending's been great. Oh, look, Dallas is a good team.
Yep.
Vegas is a very good team. Colorado's a very good team. Anaheim's a very good team. Right. Arizona's the one team out of the first 6 where you'd say,
But you played,
And New Jersey. They're terrible.
But still, 4 out of the 6 are probably going to be playoff teams.
Yep.
And you had all those road games to start, which the Red Sox basically went into the fetal position after that. They opened up on the road. They're like, we can't do this. This isn't fair. This isn't Fenway Park. Whereas the Bruins... similar to the Red Sox, short off season, but they open up on the road. They won every game but one of them. Then they come back home. They're still winning. I'm looking forward to the Tampa game coming up. I know Tampa's off to a slow start, but still they're loaded with talent. So that's going to be a fun game on Thursday.
There's been a lot of talk about the $100 million facelift, which is still ongoing at the TD Garden. They are not done yet. And just to clear up a couple of things, because since we last spoke, I've been there for a couple of games now. We had Amy Latimer on, the president of the Garden, on the home opener on Saturday. The workers are in there every single day now. What they have done is they've already begun the process where they are moving the seats in the lower bowl, backing them up a little bit so that they can try to increase the legroom in those areas where
that
people were concerned.
That sounds like a pretty big issue.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they've acknowledged it. They're working on it literally every day. There was also this discussion about, they put 500 new seats in. That's why they jammed all these seats in. That's why they took all the legroom away. They did put 500 new seats in. They're all up on the 9th floor.
Hmm.
What they've done is they've built double-decker areas of seating on the 9th floor. They didn't add 500 seats in the lower bowl.
But they still lost legroom, right? because of the way the
well, because
padding
A, or, the seats are more padded, and B, the way they positioned the seats. So they are working on that part. They're still a good month away from being done.
Yes, I'd just watch the game on NESN if I were you. Well,
that'd be fine.
That's what I would do.
But I will say, when it is done, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Some of the things they've done. I went around upstairs on the ninth floor and wandered around yesterday. You know, 10 o'clock yesterday morning. Place was empty.
Just lost.
No, I just wanted to see what it looked like up there. That's where I saw all the new seats.
Right.
So what they've done is they've put windows in on the ninth floor. There have never been windows upstairs.
Oh, boy.
And they put windows in on one side of the building. The windows look out over the Tobin Bridge and part of the harbor, which is really cool. On the other side, you've got the neatest view of the skyline of Boston you've ever seen, which has never existed in the building before.
So in a day game, could the sun shine in?
Yes.
Oh.
It's up on the ninth floor, so I don't think it would get like, down to the ice. Yeah,
like a player's eye?
No, I don't think so.
All right,
so.
Good.
But they,
that's pretty cool.
But you actually have natural light coming in.
Yeah, I'm excited. I haven't obviously been since they've done this. And all the stuff on the outside, once they get all that cleaned up, it'll be pretty cool down there.
The whole atmosphere within the team is very positive, as you might expect. They're 5-1. They're playing very well.
Oh, they're locked in.
They've come in with a different determination. We talked to Don Sweeney yesterday as part of the pregame show. And we asked him, you know, what was the message he delivered to his team at the start of training camp? He said it was important to him that the first thing he'd do when he talked to the team at training camp was to congratulate them. He said they had a hell of a year last year. And because they lost Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, they never enjoyed any of it. You know, we failed. Oh, we lost. You know, and he said, you know, they kind of passed over the accomplishment of getting to the seventh game of the Stanley Cup Final and putting together the season that they had.
Because it is one of those things when you look at just Boston sports in general, and really since 2001, second place is no place, right? You look at it, you're like, well, all these teams win. Like the Red Sox won the World Series. The Patriots won the Super Bowl. So when the Patriots lose in the Super Bowl, that's also a bad season. Whereas the reality is, chances are you were pretty successful. Like for years, if you said, oh, the Bruins made it to the Cup Final, like, oh, holy smokes, that was good. Now, losing it at home and, you know, losing a Game 7 obviously is brutal.
And it was.
But, yeah, you're right. I mean, these guys, they're going to have to put it behind them to some degree. Now, they may never completely get over it, but they have another season to go. And that was, overall, a successful season. I didn't have them making it to the Cup Final last year. I thought they were a playoff team, but that's probably about it. Maybe you win a round, maybe two, but you're not going to the Cup Final. And they did. So they do have positive things to build off of.
A couple of guys who have begun the season, taking the top line, setting them aside for a minute, because they're all unbelievable.
That's a nice line.
But a couple of guys who have really had strong starts to the season, the regular season so far. One is obviously Tuukka Rask.
Yes.
I mean, remember he had taken his game to the next level in the playoffs last year?
He did.
Where he looked even better than we'd seen him in the past. And he's kind of picked up here at the start of the regular season where he left off. The other guy, and Wakey's going to hate to hear this.
Uh-oh.
Zdeno Chara's been unbelievable so far.
But has he been slow, though? Has he been slow at his own end?
I guess. He played 26 minutes yesterday.
Yeah, he's playing a ton of
minutes. Led all defensemen. He's playing more minutes than I'd like to see him play.
Yeah, do you think that'll...
But he's playing great.
Do you think that'll change? I mean, he's leading the team in minutes. Now it's by a few seconds over McAvoy,
right.
But they play together so often. But he leads the team in minutes. And wouldn't you think that number you'd want to kind of limit? Like, I like what they're doing. They've played six games. Tuukka's played three. Halak's played three. And I'm not saying you
should. And that was the plan, by the way, before the season started.
That's good.
They knew they were going to alternate here at the beginning. And one of the things Cassidy talked about post-game yesterday, he said, I know we're going to get these guys into consecutive games, both of them, for consecutive games at sometime soon, but it's exactly the way they wanted the plan to work out.
But I wonder with Chara if you find a way to sort of take the minutes down a little bit. I don't think you need to go with the Overly's not playing back-to-backs or anything extreme like that, but just in-game, if you can shave that number down to, you know, under 20, because right now it's 22. Actually, it's 22-22 is right now what he's averaging for ice time through six games.
And he's playing like a guy younger than 42. It's sort of like the quarterback down the road. You know, that guy's playing at a level which belies his advanced age.
Right.
Chara, who has wholeheartedly bought in on the whole TB12 method, start to finish, and has since had an opportunity to kind of get together with Tom and talk about it a little bit. he looks like a guy younger than his age would indicate.
Part of it, you just got to stay in absolute freak shape. Like, that's the key to the whole thing, isn't it? You have to be so disciplined about what you eat, how much you work out, and trying to do that. Whereas some guys, and I think it would just be natural, you do that for 12 years or even 20 if you want to go back to, like, when you were in college, just the constant training and, like, everything that you're doing. It's like, you know what? I want to have an extra beer, or I want to have an extra slice of pizza, or I want to do all that. Well, these guys, if you want to play like that in your 40s, you can't do it. Other guys did too. Like Steve Nash, I remember, and he played pretty well late in his career, and then he kind of fell off, but still, he played way past like his early 30s. He like gave up sugar. Like, he completely changed his diet, and it's just, I think a lot of guys say, nah, I'm good. Like, I had a nice long career. What more do I have to prove? I'm done.
It'll be interesting Thursday. They finished the 3-game homestand Thursday night with a superb Tampa Bay team. Tampa Bay team that lost to Ottawa the other night, too.
I was gonna say, they're off to a real slow start, but the talent is off the charts still. So
offensively, especially. Now, right. The Bruins are the stingiest team in the NHL defensively. They just don't give up many scoring opportunities, and what opportunities they do give up, Tuukka and Halak have been snuffing out. So Thursday will be an interesting matchup, but the 5-1 start so far, not as good as you could hope for from the Bruins' perspective. What else you got coming up next? OMF at the top of the hour, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEE.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Right back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of things that we missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Richard?
Well, Dale, first of all, it is Karaoke Tuesday, so
ooh,
go nowhere.
We buried the lead.
Go nowhere, because in just a few short minutes.
Because he kind of needs a comeback.
Chris Shimes do. And I feel like I already have a feeling about it that it's going to be really good. But
have you been listening in on rehearsals?
No, I haven't. I never want to know what song it is. I want to be surprised, like all the listeners out there. So looking forward to that.
He does do warm-ups, by the way. I get to listen to it.
He
the breaks.
Should.
Nice.
Listen, I don't fault him for that. You've got to
make sure the vocal cords are ready for this.
Yeah, you'd be insane not to.
He sings along with the Arch painting ad.
It's all good.
Well, whatever.
Good. And do a little like
advertisers love
sound
that.
Of music. Do re mi fa sol la ti do.
Okay, all right. Save it for off the air. That's fine. So my what else you got today is with the Chiefs losing back to back games, a lot of questions have come up as it relates to the AFC. I had Wiggy do his top 5 AFC power rankings yesterday, and so the question posed to Deion Sanders, besides the Patriots, or I guess for the Patriots, who would be their biggest challenge in the AFC?
It is the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, come on!
Let me tell you why. Hey, let me tell you something, man. The Buffalo Bills can run the football very effectively. The Buffalo Bills has a top 5 defense. They can get to the ball. They can take the ball away. They know how to play some defense, and they ain't never scared. If they could get that young quarterback to just hold on to the ball and not turn the ball over, I'm telling you, these guys ain't to be played with, man.
Wiggy didn't have the Bills in his top 5,
no,
by the way. And so Deion Sanders says the second best team in the conference is the Bills.
Oh, come on!
what a response. Second best team in the division, I'll give you. Conference, I will not give you because of the quarterback.
What else you got?
So David Pastrnak scores 4 goals yesterday for the Boston Bruins. But really, the highlight of the day for most of us watching Pastrnak is his walk-in. So we shoot him on Nesson coming into the building.
Looks sharp.
He's got a lot of really, really sharp outfits. Yesterday it was kind of this salmon suit and this real snappy fedora.
It popped.
So after the game, he went out on Canal Street to our outdoor set and talked to Billy and Andrew about the outfit.
joining us right now. I almost feel like we're on E instead of Nesson right now as we watched him walk in with an entourage.
Red carpet and the whole thing.
What are you wearing today, David Pasternak, in that fancy suit of yours? Whose is that?
This is just a salmon suit. My mama always tells me I look good in salmon, so that's why I choose.
You do look good in salmon. And the hat, look at this. And we got the angle for you walking in. That's and the hat. We got to talk about the hat, too. You love your hats. As we saw you, too, Pasta, we shot you coming into TD Garden, a confident strut, feeling good this morning. A little, I don't know if that's coffee or a little drink.
Unfortunately, that's Starbucks, Duncan. That's not going to be happy at all.
we want to get into that. But lucky hat? Is this considered a lucky hat now, this one?
I don't really believe in that stuff, you know. Obviously, I usually wear a hat when I have a really bad hair day, so.
I wouldn't know anything about hair anymore, so I just wear it.
So, first of all, he wears the salmon suit because his mother says he looks good in salmon.
Yeah.
Second of all,
yeah.
He walked into the building with a Starbucks cup and he's afraid that's going to cause problems.
Yeah, I think it might. It's not great. It's a direct competitor.
And he wears a hat because he's having a bad hair day.
Because if you asked a guy in the NBA what clothing they were wearing, yeah, they would say the designer and all the stuff, and the hat they picked out. They're like, oh, what's that suit? Like, Billy's joking with him, like, oh, like, who designed that suit? He's like, it's salmon. They're not, what color is the suit? Who designed the suit? Which he doesn't know, which I love and respect. They're like, ooh, what about the hat? Tell us about the hat. Nah, I don't know. My hair was messed up, so I threw a hat on. That's fantastic.
All right, it's time.
This is what people, you got out of bed this morning waiting for this moment. That, of course, would be Karaoke Tuesday on the Dale and Keefe Show. I'm starting to wonder if we should have other people, like i.e. me, i.e. Dale, i.e. John, start to sing some songs.
I'm not saying.
Dale's giving it a quick
That's
no.
A hard
I'll
no.
Let you sleep on it, Dale.
There's a couple. I think in a week or so, we need a nice, like a choir between the four of us.
But
a quartet.
As it stands right now, Karaoke Tuesday, the program ends with Chris Scheim, the songbird of our generation, or any generation, serenading us with a final tune.
So I picked this song specifically because one of the best Dale and Keefe moments, or at least one of the best Keefe moments.
It's a four-hour show, Scheim.
Is Keefe's, he doesn't really care for country music as much.
I do not.
So I picked out this song just for you.
Scheim.
Lyrics are beautiful.
Did we have a longer intro?
No, we're the build.
I'm still parked out by the lake, 80 miles from Santa Fe.
No.
And I'm sitting here just parked out by the lake.
This isn't even the karaoke version.
No, it's a performance
file. If you're wondering where I parked, I'm out parked by the lake.
Oh, I don't care where you're parked.
It's the lake that's 80 miles from Santa Fe.
You're out in Santa Fe?
Really?
Are you a rat's
I'm
ass
I'm parked out by the lake. 80 miles
don't get
from
your
Santa
car.
Fe.
I don't care that you parked 80
parked
miles away from Santa
I'm
Fe.
Head out by the lake.
This is the worst song ever recorded. You lost your car, or would you run out of gas?
80 miles from Santa Fe.
I got it. You're like an hour and 20 minutes from Santa Fe.
Parked out here by this lake, 80 miles from Santa Fe.
Why don't you get back in your car, drive into the lake, and sink to the bottom? That's what
still,
I want.
He is not on a heater right
no, this
now.
This is awful, Sean. Why you thought this was going to help you is beyond me. I hate every
Santa
country
Fe.
Song, especially this one.
That's where I'm sitting.
Oh, there's more?
Let's resurrect it.
Chad, where's your car parked? I don't care. I don't care. It's by the lake, turns out, Dale. This can't even be a real song. This sounds made up.
I can't wait. Parked out by the lake by Dean Summerlin.
I can't wait to play this one for Duran Harmon.
80 miles. 80
Tuesday
miles.
I'm parked out by the lake.
Care.
80 miles from Santa Fe. It's the lake that's parked where I'm at, out by the lake.
I have very good news for you as you're driving around the city of Boston listening to us right now.
Yeah.
If you missed any of today's show,
including this part,
you can listen to the entire program on the radio.com app using the new rewind feature, including that piece of crap.
You can listen to Scheim again.
80 miles from Santa Fe, baby.
Oh, if you still don't have the app, just text app to 37937. You told me it was going to be better.
You dedicated a country song to me. I was wrong, Dale. I was wrong. I'm the only big Keith, man admits he's wrong.
The beauty of the song is it's a parody of country music, which is why, you know, you should be.
This is
all
what do you mean it's a parody
that.
Of country music? It is it country, is country music. Music. That is, all the songs sound the same.
Repeating the same words over
yeah.
and over again?
Yeah, my car is out in the lake. I got boots on and I'm riding a horse. It's all the same. It's all the same.
We got to get out of here.
80 miles from Santa Fe.
We
got to
get out of here.
I'll see you tomorrow.
OMF's coming up next. See ya.
This lake, out by this lake, 80 miles from Santa Fe.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.